Okay, fantastic. Got a Bible. Turn to Genesis 16. Genesis 16. Hey, it's great to see you today. As our summer rolls on along, and I have really so much enjoyed just sharing with your guests with us today. I take the summers just kind of teach from the Old Testament about like one of the characters. And over the past summers, we've covered through Joseph and through Moses and through David and Elijah and Nehemiah. But this summer, we're just kind of walking through Abraham. Now, remember, we've been finding out that in Abraham's life, God is beginning the story. That's what makes this so cool, is that he's beginning the story in Abraham's life. And you're going to see all kinds of pictures, even things that you wouldn't even think would be there or should be there, but become very clear, okay, when you compare it, especially with the New Testament. And most of the time when you know, people, even believers, don't know the Old Testament, when in reality God was starting this picture that he finished up in who Christ is. And so it just is a great look. Last week we talked about how God had made Abraham a whole lot of promises. Okay? A whole lot of promises. And Abraham believed them. And God credited to him his righteousness. This, last week in this chapter, I want you to know that it was kind of what I call the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. We talked again, that was last week. But these promises that God has made, and God makes all kinds of promises, and make sure that as a believer today, is that we don't claim promises in the scriptures for our lives that were made to someone else. That's been one of the great abuses over the years. And you do understand that happens often, you know, with a lot of the different promises or even prayers in the Old and New Testament. People look at them and say, well, God, I claim that promise for my life. But in reality, it wasn't a promise made to you. Now, if God's made you a promise, and there are a lot of those in the scriptures that are made to all of us, then that's a different story. It's the truth and it's going to happen. Well, God made a promise to Abraham, and there were many promises, but the one we're going to focus on today is the promise that God made to Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations. Well, when you pass 90 and you still don't have any children, you begin to wonder how that promise is going to work out, you know? And so that began to be the problem. God kept making these promises over and over again. You're going to be, look up at the stars. Remember, that was last week. Look up at the stars, you know, Abraham. You've got, if you can count those stars, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And yet, he didn't have any kids. And when you're approaching 90, you're beginning to think to yourself, well, God, are you sure about this promise? And God was sure, but God, again, God's writing a story. Okay, God is writing a story, and you're going to see it come into play over the next few weeks. And this incredible picture that God is writing. So it's not just the point. Again, today's title is "Hurry Up and Wait." Okay, hurry up and wait, because even though God has made all these promises, it continues to roll along that there are no children. And again, he passes 90, his wife passes 80. And again, remember at the time in which Abraham was living, life expectancy was a little bit longer. It was more in the 120s to 150s, would be the lifespan at this time. And if you take a look, it's incredible in the scriptures. When you take a look at the pre-flood, lifespans were huge. There was something that happened ecologically that caused lifespans to really start dropping after the flood. And so it was definitely on its way down from here. You can see that. It's pretty interesting when you take a look at things like that. So anyway, we're taking a look at a situation where God's made these promises and yet they're not happening. And here's the thing that I want to talk to you about today. And as a believer, I want you to understand, is that I've told you as many times, if you're a believer here today, if you're not a believer here today, you're going to enjoy listening to some of the things and other things and continue. Obviously, the picture of who Christ is going to be found again in this story as it was last week. And so if you're not sure if you're a believer or if you even know what that means, then just sit back and just enjoy it and just listen to it. But if you are a believer, I want you to know, and I've told you this many times, and I'm going to keep telling you, is that God is at work in your life to teach you to trust Him. And I know that a lot of you, including myself, don't like to hear this piece. But a lot of how God teaches you, He teaches you to wait. Okay, well, that's a four-letter word in my vocabulary. All right? That is what. But again, so much of trust is waiting. And so much of trust is taught in waiting. And yet I found, it's over and over and over and over again throughout the scriptures, is that God has a perfect time. But most of the time, for a lot of different personalities, especially mine, and I've had to learn this through the years. I am so much better now than I was 15 or 20 years ago. Because, I mean, it was just, okay, we got to do something. Even if it's wrong, let's do something. And then I found out, as I've learned, as God has taught me to trust Him, that God can get more done in 6 months when He's in it than I can get done through 6 years of striving hard. And therefore, I can keep running myself into the wall, spending all of this energy, but at least I'm doing something. Right? But see, that's kind of the way, I was brought up. You worked. I was kind of how I was brought up, you know? I'll just tell you a little bit about the way I was brought up. It comes from my grandfather. Is that you can be accused of, say that you're accused of two things. You're accused of being a murderer and you're accused of being lazy. Right? In my family, being accused of being a murderer was preferable than being accused of being lazy. I don't know if you understand that mentality, but those times when you even feel guilty, even to this day, you still feel guilty when you sit down. And so that's not always good, by the way. Okay, because all of a sudden, usually that type of personality has real impatience. And impatience with people. And a lot of times that type of personality, God's at work in your life, if you're a believer, and He's at work in your life to teach you to trust Him, and one of those is going to be waiting. And I'm telling you what, for that type of personality, waiting kills you. And yet I want you to know that God's made all these promises, we're going to find out next week that it's another 13 years. Another 13 years after all of this that he has to continue to wait because God was writing a story. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning. And yet remember, I have found that God's timing is rarely our timing. And the practical piece of this is just because God delays does not mean that it was a promise broken. God's just writing a story. God was sharing these things, but then again, you're going to find out that Abraham, really it's not so much Abraham here as it is Sarah. We'll take a look at it in just a minute. They really come to the point to where they think, well, you know, we need to help God out a little bit here. All right? Because obviously either he's asleep or he's busy doing other things and we need to help him out. And I'm telling you what, every time you do something like that, you wind up really fouling things up. I have been there lots of times. And so when we take a look at this part of Abraham's life and this part of his story, It's an amazing thing. A couple of things I want you to see before we go any further. Okay? Don't turn to this. Just Romans chapter 5. Take a look at the screens. Verse 3 and 4. Now, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance, character, and character, hope. You see the word endurance there? The word endurance is translated in the NIV and other translations, patience. It's the same concept. Therefore, this teaching that God has in your life, because it is something that you need to learn. And therefore, praying for patience, you know, it's the old joke, you know, I prayed for patience and God gave me 7 kids kind of thing. All right. And so he didn't give me patience. He taught me patience. Patience is another thing that God teaches. Remember the superstitiousness of our culture, not just our culture, but our Christian culture. And I tell you this again as often as I can. The superstitious nature that somehow we're going to pray and then God's going to zap you with patience. He doesn't do that. The way he answers prayer is that he puts things in your life that teaches you patience, teaches you to trust him. And isn't it amazing that patience and trust go hand in hand? Therefore, when we laughingly admit that we have trouble with patience, in reality, what we're saying is we struggle with our faith. So, again, putting us in situations to teach us to trust him. And I'm here to tell you, a lot of it's going to, you're going to wait because God has a perfect time. And it's usually not your time. And maybe every once in a while, but it's usually not your time. Because God's writing a story, okay? And the story is an amazing story, and he's got it for generations to come. Even here we go, thousands of years later, we're still talking about it. 2013, and we're still talking and sharing the story that God wrote into Abraham's life and what we can learn from it. And as I've told you before, but again, last week I just mentioned this just a little bit, but the reason that God waited so long was because it was going to be a miracle birth. Again, just look at the screen at this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. In other words, God waited so long in Abraham's life that when he did give them children, everybody knew it was from God and that it was a miracle. Okay, continue to read. Were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead. Therefore, God waited so it would be a miracle birth. Because God's writing a story in Abraham's life about a miracle birth that was going to be a picture of another miracle birth that would happen in Luke chapter 2. And again, these two things go together because God's writing a story. But remember this. Abraham didn't know that. He's still, as I always like to say, he's still stuck in chapter 16. He's still turning 90 and not having any children yet. Okay? And a boy, people today would say, oh, well, God wouldn't ask you to do that. Are you sure? Oh, how many people say, well, God never let that happen. Have you read the Bible? I tell you, people make so many comments about who God is just out of who they want him to be and not according to what the truth says about who he really is. But I'm here to tell you, God's writing a story. And a lot of times that includes hurt and pain. You're going to find out in Abraham's life. Why? Because eventually Christ was going to go through suffering and pain on our behalf. So these pictures are incredible things. And yet they may not be in our plans, but what does it matter? Is it that becomes those who are truly followers? Is it all about your plans or is it about his plans? And if it's about his plans, then you're going to have to wait. But if it's about your plans, you go ahead, okay? I think I got this one, all right? But I have found, here you go, you can go ahead and go. But I tell you what, when I ask people, how's your plan working? That's a question I ask as often as I can. Hey, how's your plan working? Every once in a while, they'll say, oh, my plan's working great. I'll say, well, keep going doing your plan. But it's incredible how we begin to realize that our plan is not really working all that well. Therefore, I need another plan. Therefore, there's the distinguisher. God, is it about what I want? Lord, is it about me wanting what you want? And when it comes down to it, especially in our culture, when it comes down to it, let me ask you a question. Do you really in the depths of who you are want what God wants for your life? Or do you look at God as someone there that can give you things and try and make you happy? Therefore, when you're not happy, we blame him. Well, God, that's your responsibility. Why am I not happy here? So as you understand, again, I've told you this many times, you're still in Abraham's life. God's not real concerned. This blows so many people's minds. God's not real concerned about you being happy. You know, as a parent, I've been a parent for a long time. If you are concerned about your child's happiness, you're probably not doing very good as a parent. I mean, I know that may come to a shock because that's what our culture teaches. I just want my child to be happy. Ooh. Because what makes them happy may not be necessarily what's good for them. So therefore, are you willing to make your child unhappy when it is what's best for them? Most parents are not. So therefore, God is at work in Abraham's life, not to make him happy, but to do something incredible through his life. Now, eventually, it's going to lead to happiness down the road. But as we know, most good things down the road have to have some pain that you go through to get to them. That's life. It's amazing how it works. So God is at work, God is at work, God is at work. So when you take a look at this, again, let me just throw with you before we even get to the story, okay? The story is not going to take that long this morning, but let me give you four things that you can know that you're trusting God, all right? Four things. These are simple things. If you're a believer here today, here are four ways that you can know, okay, on a regular basis. None of us does this perfectly, okay? None of us does this perfectly. But here's four ways you can know that you're trusting God. Number one, are you willing to wait? Okay? Now, again, I'm not looking back in your past and saying the last 10 years, you know, well, I messed up once or twice. If you only messed up once or twice, life is good. You know, I'm here to tell you that we try so hard to hide our imperfections. But I'm here to tell you, none of us are perfect and none of us are going to do this perfect. And yet many of us like to share that we're perfect when we're not. And when it comes down to it, are you willing to wait? Has God taught you to trust him and to wait on him? Okay. Has God taught you to trust him? If you're willing to wait, okay, that's one of those things. That's one of those things. And usually, you know how you learn to wait? You learn to wait by being impatient, messing up, and learning, okay, I'm not doing that again. That's how Abraham learned. That is how Abraham learned by getting ahead of God and really messing up. So you usually learn that. So there's one of the ways, all right? You can begin to see that those who are willing to wait, okay? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Let me give you a couple of these verses along the way. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid the foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Look at this. Whoever believes will not be in haste. In other words, those who are going to put their faith and trust in me, they're going to learn to wait. That's why I put number one down. Here's how you can know you're trusting God. Number one, are you willing to wait? Number two, you're concerned about God's glory only. Again, you won't do this one perfectly. But I have found when it really comes down to it, okay, what is it that you long for in here? And if you long that God will be glorified in who you are and what you do, that's one of the ways you can know that you're trusting. Can you search your heart? Nobody else can make this judgment call for you. But can you search your heart and say, God, I look at my heart, Lord. You know what I want is what you want. And God, I'm not really worried about me getting any credit, Lord. I want you to be glorified through this. Again, that's learning to trust him. And if your desire is for him, it's an interesting thing. I'm telling you what, guys, these things are just not taught in our culture anymore. Our culture has become, and some of you begin to see it happening, it's becoming very, very focused on self. That's why all the advertising markets constantly say, because you deserve it. Because you deserve it. Why? Because it appeals to that me-focused type thing. But that's not what the scriptures teach. Interesting. All right. Number three, you're obeying God's word. That's one way you can know that you're, and you have a working knowledge of what the scripture says, and you have a desire to live by what it says. Okay? All right, number four, I'd love to go on. You have a joy and a peace on the inside. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So I'm just kind of giving you these four things to take a look at and found scriptures that obviously told us how we can know that we're trusting God. And one at the top is one that will wait, but also the effect of having that on the inside that we know that we're his and that we're in his hands. Okay, so let's move on to just the story. Again, we're going to kind of just roll through. This won't take long because, again, there's not as much to it. But let's take a look at Abraham kind of messes up here. Let's take a look. Number one, okay, a decision that's made out of impatience. Okay, a decision that is made out of impatience. Okay, now let's take a look at it in chapter 16 and verse 1. Now Sarah, or Sarai, pretty soon her name's going to be changed to Sarah, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had an Egyptian, a female Egyptian servant, whose name was Hagar. Now, I've already talked to you about that. Abraham made some mistakes, and one of the mistakes he made was moving to Egypt to get away from the famine. And so he wasn't supposed to be there. And when he was there, and when you're where you're not supposed to be, you begin to pick up things you don't need to pick up. And one of them they picked up were some servants that Pharaoh had given them. And there were obviously female servants. And one of them's name was Hagar. Now, here's a classic thought. Look at verse 2. And Sarah said to Abraham, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant. It may be. Okay, this is classic. Underline maybe. It says, and I think in the NIV it says perhaps. Understand is that when you begin guessing like that, then when you begin trying to figure it out, that's when you begin to make big mistakes. And I'm not sure there's one much bigger in Abraham's life, even though it seems strange here, but he makes a big one, and it's made out of impatience. Let's take a look at it. Let's continue to read. Has prevented me from bearing children. Go to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. Now, this again is going to sound strange to you. Number one, we don't have servants or slaves in our culture. And number two, obviously, we didn't have any of these laws about having children. And they had some of them back at the time after this, at Moses' time, to where if a man died childless, then a closer relative, especially a brother, could have children in his name. And it goes on and on again. This is going to sound strange to our culture, but you have to understand this is a totally different culture a long, long time ago. And so Sarah comes up with this idea. Well, maybe Abraham, maybe you can marry my handservant, my maidservant, And then perhaps you can have children through her and they can be mine. Okay? Now, why is she even coming up with that idea? Because she's saying, listen, I know what God's promised, and I just am not having any children, and I'm past the time, Abraham. Do you understand what that means, Abraham? I'm past the time where I can't have children. Okay? Okay, I think some of you have caught on. I hear some chuckles. All right. So obviously God can't do anything that hard. So obviously we've got to go another route here. Perhaps, obviously, maybe. And so it's kind of interesting of how this all comes. Let's continue to read. All right. And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. Okay. So after Abraham had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abraham, her husband, as a wife. Now, I don't. Maybe he didn't have a whole lot of books around that would have told him what he was about to do was going to set off an atom bomb in his household. Okay? And maybe he was like, well, if this is what Sarah wants, then okay, let's go for it. I don't know. We're not told. But this is not a good idea. Okay? This is not a good idea. Yet, when you are impatient, you are open much more to bad ideas. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen to me, singles, single adults. I know some of you have a desire to have a relationship with someone. But let me tell you something. If you get impatient in that area, you will make a bad decision. And let me tell you something. When you make a bad decision in that area, it has huge repercussions down the line. And I could only give you 100 people who'd stand up and give a testimony to that one. Impatience causes you to consider bad decisions and bad decisions that follow you. Okay? And they follow you down the road. And this one is still following them down the road. You'll see that in just a minute. Okay, so they come up with this idea, and so that's what she does. Let's look at the rest of it. Verse 4. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. She was pregnant. Okay? And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Oh, don't you see that coming? Now, all of a sudden, guess God's blessed me, Sarah, and he hasn't blessed you. Guess I'm going to be the new favorite wife now. So you can see this is not going well. Okay? But it never goes well when we make these type decisions. Okay? You know, whenever you get impatient and you get out of God's will, one of two things can happen to you. Now, don't miss this. Whenever you're out of God's will, impatience takes over and you make a bad decision. Here's one of two things that could happen. Okay? You could either fail miserably. That's number one. Or number two, you can succeed even more miserably. You know, because at first it worked. Well, it worked is kind of a loose, you know, deduction here, right? Yes, it worked. She's pregnant, but I'm here to tell you that doesn't mean it's successful. Because this is going to be a tough one. Let's continue to move on, okay? All right. But obviously, when you think in the scriptures and impatience, I'm here to tell you most everybody that messed up in this area. Moses. Oh my goodness, Moses messed up. Remember when he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand? See, Moses was thinking, okay, I'm going to deliver my people, but he went about it in an impatient way. Think about King Saul in 1 Samuel. And he got impatient and offered the sacrifice himself, and it wound up having huge repercussions in his life. It's an incredible thing when you think and look through the whole scriptures. All right. Number two, consequences of the impatience. Let's continue with the story. Look at verse 4. But we've already read, look at verse 5 now. And Sarah said to Abraham, now this is classic here. Okay, do not miss this. Look at verse 5. And Sarah said to Abraham, may the wrong done to me be on you. And Abraham's going, this is not in the Bible, this is Jeff's thoughts. Abraham's going, now how'd this become my fault? That was your idea, wasn't it? Didn't you bring her to me and say, hey, here you go. All right? And this was all your, but isn't it interesting? It became his fault. I don't know if there's any truth in that or not, but just thought I'd point that out to you. Okay, let's continue to read. May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, now she looks on me with contempt. I mean, here she even brings God into it. Look at this. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abraham said to Sarah, behold, your servant's in your power. You can do with her as you please. Okay. Second mistake. I mean, well, again, after you've already made some bad decisions and you've got this, now the rest of the decisions you make, you're in a lose-lose. So basically, Abraham says to Sarah, okay, we'll do it, she's yours. Do whatever you want to do. And so Sarah starts treating her harshly. And now Abraham's got world war in his home. But isn't it interesting? I just want you to see this. Abraham's life was not a perfect life, and that's what I told you at the very beginning, because we're going to talk about all these things. Because Abraham had times in his life where he had incredible courage and did incredible things in God and used him in incredible ways. But there were times in Abraham's life that he was just gutless. And as opposed to looking at Sarah and saying, listen, Sarah, we've made a mistake here. And this now is what it is. But Abraham says, okay, whatever you want to do to her is all right with me. And she begins to abuse her, basically. So again, it gets ugly here for what the Bible calls the man of faith. Again, guys, it's not about perfection. None of us is perfect. And I love how the Bible shares warts and all with its heroes. But Abraham was, God was writing a story, but he was in the process of writing it that in a way that really might be strange, and we'll share that with you at the very end. So the consequences, okay? All right. Number three, God steps in, okay? Now, it gets really strange here. And let's take a look at it, and we'll just kind of talk through it, and then I got a few things I'd like to share with you at the end. All right? Take a look. Let's just read. Look at verse 7. Angel of the Lord, I'll get it right in a minute. Verse 6. Then Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. So in other words, she dealt so harshly that Hagar ran away. And where's Abraham in all of this? Let's continue. Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord found her the angel of the Lord found Hagar by a spring, okay, in the wilderness, in the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from my mistress, Sarah. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress, look at this, and submit to her. In other words, I want you to go back and I want you to have a different attitude. Okay? And understand, obviously, that you're going to be submissive to who she is. This is the instructions. Let's continue to work. All right. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael. All right. Continue to read. Because the Lord has listened to your affliction. This is interesting. How would you like to get this birth announcement? And he shall be a wild donkey of a man. You can translate that any way you'd like to. How'd you like to hear that, moms, before you even give birth? Prophet comes by and says, hey, you're going to have a wild donkey for a son, but you are blessed among women, right? And so, but again, strange things when we take a look at them, but there was interesting. This child was conceived in impatience, and it affected who he was, even at conception in this particular picture. Interesting, right? He'll be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. In other words, he's going to be pretty contentious. Now, he's going to be the father of a nation, a whole multitude. But that group of people is not going to get along with anybody. And I want you to know that this group of people has not gotten along with anybody. Especially the nation of Israel, which would eventually come out of Abraham's son Isaac. So this is an interesting thing. Now, who is Ishmael? Ishmael is the again, I could give you some of the names of the countries around there, but it's a direct descendant today of the Arabs. And there's been this contentiousness that is still alive today if you follow any news. And it goes all the way back to a choice of impatience. Isn't that incredible? It goes all the way back to God had made some promises to this man in ancient times. And basically, we're going to help God out here. And all of a sudden, a nation is given birth to, and it winds up being an enmity that lasts even still to this day, thousands of years later. Because I'm here to tell you that the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac have never gotten along. As long as there's been recorded history, they have never, never, never gotten along. And it goes all the way back to this. And obviously God's saying that it was going to happen. All right, let's continue to read. Verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly, here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore, the well will be called Beer, okay? Laha Roy. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. Now, all right, so you understand all of those things, and we put that together. Now, as I'm about to close, all right, let's see some pictures here that perhaps that I would have never seen in this story. And this will show you that God is writing a story in the story. Even in Abraham's disobedience, God is writing a story. And the story is shared. I would never have seen this unless the New Testament didn't refer to this. You know, I love doing that. I love taking you back and letting you see, okay, this is what God is sharing with us in the New Testament, but he's already written it out before in someone else's life before. Now, I've talked to you many times, and it's one of my favorite subjects. If you say, hey, Jeff, I'd like for you just to do a sermon series 1 month on any subject you'd like to do it on. Well, you know where I'm going. I'm going to grace. I'm going to talk to you about grace because to me, it is the foundation of the scriptures that sometimes very few people ever truly comprehend. Therefore, how's a person right with God? The scriptures teach that the only way a person can be right with God is by grace through faith. Therefore, you need a gift that you can only get into your life by putting your faith and trust in it. And yet the majority of folks today teach about a list of things you're supposed to do and a list of things you're not supposed to do. And somehow that, the better you do them, it makes you right with God. And so there's this constant battle between what I call grace and works. Jeff, you seem to have shifted gears. I have not. You'll see. Because in the New Testament, it pulls this story and teaches us something on that. So you can turn to it if you'd like, but this is how we'll close. In Galatians chapter four, if you'd like to turn to it, we will be there just for the next few minutes and then we'll be done. And there's this teaching that once a person, it's hard to understand totally, but there's a teaching in the scripture, if you're a believer today, that you're no longer under the law. Now, I'm not talking about the law of our country and those different things, because Paul was very clear in Romans that you need to be under the authority of the nation's laws in which you live. But what it's talking about here is the religious law or the scriptural law. And what it says is, because you have been made right with God for free. Therefore, Christ took your, imperfections. He took your, punishment, consequences, whatever you want to call it, to the cross. And now you have been stamped forgiven. Not because you've been a good person, but because you put your faith and trust in Christ and he died on your behalf. Therefore, you have his righteousness in your life and he took your unrighteousness to the cross. That is the picture. Therefore, he can offer a gift to you. Okay, that can be earned or deserved. Okay, I think you've got that part. So what does that mean with the story we just talked about? Well, let's take a look at it. Okay. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law. Okay? Do you not listen to the law? In other words, Paul is addressing this to the people in Galatia because they're going back to following all the rules and regulations in order to be right with God. And so he's trying to tell them, hey, let me tell you what, you guys who are going around touting about living this law and that law, here's what he's saying. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. Okay, one by the slave woman and one by the free woman. So it goes all the way back here. Paul uses this and tells us that this is another story that God is writing for you to see the differences. One, if you will, you're born into slavery. And the other, you are born into freedom. And he's making this incredible comparison because I'm here to tell you, I have been over here. Okay. I have been over here where my obviously spiritual relationship with God was all up to me. And I went out and I tried to do, cause I kind of fell among a group of people that's kind of what they were all about. And we attempted to live and to be and put ourselves under such strict discipline about not doing this, not doing this, doing this, doing this. And, you know, how many times with the Lord, devotional times you had a day, and we all keep each other accountable. And I'm here to tell you, my life as a Christian became more burdensome than it had been when I was lost. So Paul's making this distinction between slavery versus freedom. Don't miss it. This is amazing. Continue to read. Verse 23, but the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born according to promise. Now you can understand where he's going here, but if you've been here through the weeks, to see what's going on in Abraham's life. Right? Now this may be interpreted allegorically. He's telling you right out what this looks like. So in other words, God's writing an allegory or a picture or a parallel in another situation that teaches us something here. Okay? These women were two covenants. Okay, this may go a little deeper for you, but I think you can hang on. And I think it's important for you to understand and see because it affects us even still to this day. Take a look at it. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She's Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is the slavery with her children. What is he talking about? In other words, if you're going to go around trying to tout that the reason that you're right with God is because of all of these rules that you follow. If you think that makes you right with God, that only puts you into slavery. But understand that Christ came not that you'll be put into slavery, but that you'll be set free from the law and the penalty of it. Interesting. And he uses these two as an illustration of that. Look at this. Verse 28. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Interesting. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free. So I've got to be done because I'm out of time. But I wanted you to see again, I want you to understand that the Bible is, it has much more in it for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. As God is writing the story, and you have to be blind not to see what he's saying, that the promise, God's promises to you were promises that he made to set you free. And therefore, it comes by grace through faith. That is why so many times, and I've been there, so many times, majority of people who teach about Christ, there's teaching that in order to be right with God, you have all these things you have to do and not do. And therefore, when you're doing them well, then you're right with him. That is also the group of people that will teach, well, you can lose your salvation. Because if you earned it by doing good deeds, then you can lose it by doing bad ones. It is the way it's taught today. But if it's a gift, therefore, if God gave you a gift of salvation, and it's a gift that comes by grace, therefore, if you didn't do anything to earn or deserve it, then I ask you the question, can you do anything to lose it? It's an amazing teaching, but I'm here to tell you it is what the Scriptures teach. Now, there's a lot more to it. There's just no way we can share all of it in one Sunday. But we're going to be talking about this because this is going to be the current theme, going to be a common theme that's going to run through Abraham's life that teaches us what it means and what freedom in Christ really means. Okay? And the Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we're going to be talking about that because the promises of God were like what we talked about last week, that Abraham believed, faithed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. All right. So as we close today, all right, Tim, come on out wherever you are. And as we close today, if there's never been a time in your life, if you'd like to know what it means to accept that gift, again, it's not something you have to join. It's not something you have to do. It's something you have to trust in. There'll be some pastors up here afterwards that would love to talk to you about that. All right? But God bless you. Let's all stand. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you again next week. All right, Tim, why don't you close us in prayer?
Thanks. DJ, are you up front with me here? DJ will be up front right here, and he will be love to talk to you if you have any questions about, especially about a personal relationship with Christ. But anything else, too, he would love to talk with you, so just come down front here and do that. Might also add, love to see you in connection groups, and the little QR code that's in your heartbeat there down by Dinner with the Pastor and all that, you can click on that and sign up still for Dinner with the Pastor, or just go to IndianRocks.org. I'm telling you, it's so simple now to just find your way around. Click on I'm New, and I'll take you to Main Street. I'd love to get you plugged in serving. Love to get you plugged into a small group. And that starts next week. And I hope you'll join me for that too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have your word. And as Pastor Jeff unfolded today, just to look at Abraham's life and the choices he made and the results of those choices. And Lord, just pray that we'll take to heart the things that we've heard today. And as we continue to look at his life, and we'll continue to grow and learn. And Lord, I pray today for those today who may be seeking you, a relationship with you, that, Lord, they talk to someone before they leave here today or talk to DJ down front here about that relationship. Lord, I just thank you that we can have that salvation in you and that you love us so very, very much. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here today. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, have a great day. We'll see you in connection groups.